توكلوا عليه. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، respected brothers and sisters, the month of Rabi'ul Awwal just finished, and it was my intention to speak about the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam a bit, seeing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. It was my intention to start speaking about the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam a little bit, but I did not get the opportunity during the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, and now the month of Rabi'ul Akhir or Rabi'ul Ukhra has dawned on us. But I will still, inshallah, try to express some of the history of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is important that we understand it and we listen to it well, so that we know the religion of Islam, where it originated from and how it came about, and the need and where the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam originated from. Very important. We know that we belong to the Muslims, follow the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Right? Ibrahim alayhi salam, living in the land of Quds, was married to Sarah, and they lived their life, and we know the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That is a separate story. Right? Ibrahim alayhi salam reached the age of 85 years of age, and his wife Sarah approximately 75-76 years of age, and they have no children. And Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed to Allah azza wa jal for a child, and he kept on praying, not that he wanted children for any purpose, but he wanted that there would be people to carry on. He wanted to have a progeny that would be able to carry on in the religion of Allah azza wa jal. So he prayed to Allah azza wa jal. 85 years of age, no children. His wife 76. So his wife, seeing also that Ibrahim alayhi salam is desirous of having children and all of that, she gave as a gift to Ibrahim alayhi salam Hajira, who was an Egyptian handmaid that she had. She gave him as a gift so that he could take her as a wife and maybe have children. But really and truly, thinking 85 years of age and all of that, who's going to have children at that age? And so, lo and behold, Hajira became pregnant. And Ismail alayhi salam was born, the first son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Understand that, and understand it well, that the first son of, the first child of Ibrahim alayhi salam was Ismail. And the reason why I say we must understand that, because the Jews, they tried to propagate that the firstborn of Ibrahim alayhi salam was Ishaq, the second son, because their progeny comes from Ishaq. So they always try to propagate that they came from the firstborn, Ishaq. But the firstborn was Ismail alayhi salam. Ismail alayhi salam and his mother, Hajira, because of dispute within the family, and that happens when a man has more than one wife, little bickering and little bitterness develops between the families and all of that. And because of that, you find that, you know, there is a little tension in the home. And because of that, Hajira, Sarah asked Ibrahim alayhi salam, why don't Hajira and her son move out? And Ibrahim alayhi salam became very worried about this, because all his family was in one, and now here it is, one wife is asking the other with the son to move out. And he prayed to Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal told him that no, he should take that mashura, it is a good mashura, follow that guidance. And then they were directed and to go and settle in the valley of Makkah. Hajira and Ismail alayhi salam going to settle in the valley of Makkah. When he was about 14 years of age, by that time Ibrahim alayhi salam was in his 100th year. And at that time, his first wife, Sarah, became pregnant. 100 years old, and his first wife became pregnant, Sarah alayhi salam. And she was blessed with a son as well, Ishaq. So the progeny of Ishaq was Saitel and Baitul Maqdis. They settled there, and they grew from there. And the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam was settled in Makkah. Their progeny settling there, and we know the story that when they were taken there, it was barren, deserted, nothing inside, no tree inside, no house, no human being, nothing inside. Settled in a valley. And they knew it was the will of Allah for them to settle there. So they remained, and Ibrahim alayhi salam went away. And Sarah alayhi salam, now when her son became thirsty, now running around looking for water from Safa to Marwa, right, running up and down, looking at her child, and the well of Zamzam came into existence. At the feet of Ismail alayhi salam, the well of Zamzam came into existence. And now, because of the fact that a well was established and there was water present, people now started to pass that route. People now started to pass that route because water is present. My dear brothers and sisters, the Kaaba was built on the direction of Allah Azza wa Jal, exactly where the Kaaba was built in the time of Adam alayhi salam. It was a few times it was demolished and broken down and abandoned, and during the flood of Noah alayhi salam also it was abandoned and broken down and it was lost. But then the foundation was pointed out to Ibrahim alayhi salam by Angel Jibreel. The corners of where the Kaaba was pointed out to him, and he and his son Ismail started digging, and they found the original foundation, and the Kaaba was rebuilt. And then the rites of Hajj was established. Hajj, from that time, once a year Hajj was performed, and then later on, any time during the year, Umrah could be performed, the lesser pilgrimage, that was established since that time. And the running of Safa and Marwa, Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, 7 times was established as part of the Hajj and part of the Umrah. From that time it was established. The rules pertaining to Hajj and how it has to be performed, all of that established from that time by Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam. Ismail alayhi salam, his descendants started growing, his progeny started growing, and so too the progeny of Ishaq started growing in Baitul Maqdis. And the progeny of Ishaq used to also visit the Kaaba to make tawaf, pay their rites, to perform Hajj. It is not like this is Ismail one and your Ishaq is across. No, they used to come and visit. Because it was a house that was established by their father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the Hajj was performed by them. The Jews used to visit the Kaaba. They used to perform the Hajj. They used to perform the Umrah. And people coming to visit the Kaaba used to bring gifts in the form of gold and silver and other things they used to bring. And all of these used to be kept in the Kaaba. My dear brothers and sisters, as the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam started to grow, around the Kaaba, and the population started to grow, it was becoming a bit crowded. So families decided that, okay, let us migrate from here and go out and live other places in other parts of Arabia and all of that. They started to move out. But in their moving out, they carried little pebbles with them as souvenirs, as memoirs of the Kaaba that was built by their foreparents. These little stones that they took with them, initially with good intention, just so that it would be as a souvenir, as a memory, that later on in the generations come, led to idol worshipping. Because when they took these little pebbles with them and they went out, and generations passed, people are saying that, you know, our parents used to show reverence to these pebbles, and then they started making them a little bigger because it is a little pebble. Let's make it a little bigger and all of that. And eventually they turn into little idols that they started worshipping. And that is how idol worship came into being. And now when revisiting the Kaaba, When revisiting the Kaaba, they started bringing these little idols with them, thinking that these are great beings that came originally from there. And as a result of that, 360 idols ended up in the circumference of the Kaaba. Not on the Kaaba itself, but a little distance away. Right? In the Mataf area, as you would know it, 360 idols established around the Kaaba. And this is what little things that is not part of the deen, when we use our initiative and feel that this is something good. Now, the intentions of the people, the descendants of Ismail, taking little pebbles away was only to show what? As a little memoir, as a little souvenir, no harm, what harm could come from that? You take a little picture, what harm could come from that? Right? What is a little picture? Nowadays, so digital camera, all of these things, so easy. You take a little picture and you do this and all. What harm could come from that? But we don't know what harm could come from it. The Sharia has certain laws and rules and regulations that we follow. Right? So we follow these. The Sharia says that you don't do this, you don't do that. And you maintain, you follow Allah and His Rasul, you follow the Quran, you follow the Sunnah. Right? You don't try to use your initiative and your intelligence and your akhla to tell you that, okay, this is looking good and let us have a reunion and let us have this and 40 days afterwards we'll do this and 3 days afterwards we'll do that and every year we will have a little urs in remembrance. We'll call the family together and have a little reading and do a khatam of Quran and all of that. You know, all of these things are good, we're telling ourselves. And later on, what it develops into, Allah knows best what it could develop into. So what you try to stick with, what the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to hold on to. Hold on to the Quran and hold on to the Sunnah. This is what they did. They never celebrated the birthday of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When is the month of Rabiul Awal? They never celebrated his birthday during his lifetime. Neither the companions after him celebrated his birthday. But we have to celebrate his birthday. Now why? Because the Christians are celebrating the birthday of Isa alayhi salam at Christmas time. So why the Muslims can't do a little something and celebrate our prophet birthday? Right? We start to use our intelligence. Right? But then that leads to other things. And we know what it leads to. It is evident. We are living it. So the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam started moving out and initially, and that led to idol worshipping many years afterwards and idols coming back into the Kaaba. My dear brothers and sisters, Ismail alayhi salam, his second wife was a person from the tribe of Jurhum, from Yemen. And as years went by, the Jurhumites had established themselves as rulers of Makkah and in charge of the Kaaba and all that kind of thing. Eventually they became, as time goes by, but there were people who eventually started to do a lot of oppression and a lot of injustices. So the other tribes that were settled and all that kind of thing evicted them from Makkah. And in evicting them from Makkah, they decided that we are going to bury the well of Zamzam so nobody would be able to benefit from it. So they took whatever jewelry they could have taken from the Kaaba, and whatever they couldn't carry, they dumped it into the well of Zamzam, and they covered the well of Zamzam, so the well of Zamzam became lost. After the people of Jurhum had left, the tribe of Khuza'ah took over, and they did not make any attempt to find back the well of Zamzam. They just dug other wells. There's no need for that. Let's just dig new wells. So they dug other wells in Makkah from which they got water, and they never saw the need for finding back the Zamzam. They didn't understand the blessedness of the Zamzam. So they dug other wells and they got water from it, and they were contented with that. So when the Jurhumai tribe had buried, they took some of the treasures of the Kaaba, they buried the others, and they covered the well of Zamzam. As the years went by, people came and they used to do their tawaf. Everybody, the Makkah was well established because it was in the route and the route of the Quraysh tribes that were doing their yearly trade twice for the year, one during the summer, once during the winter. They had their trade that used to go on, and that was in the route passing there. Makkah and Medina and all of that was in the route. So it became established and people became really well known. The Kaaba became well known as the house of going to worship. Everybody knew about the Kaaba, and it became well established. There were other temples of the goddesses, Lat and Uzza and all of that, Manat, three famous temples that were established in other parts of Makkah, as well, in other parts of the peninsula of Arabia. But the Kaaba really and truly was looked up upon as the house of Allah Azawajal, right? Even though they were idol worshipping, right? It was looked up upon. As the years went by, and then the time came when Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was in charge of the Kaaba. And he was a person who had extreme love for the Kaaba. He was not an idol worshipper. He did not concern himself with the idol. But being a person who is in charge of the Kaaba, he had to facilitate all the other tribes and all the other peoples coming to visit the Kaaba and perform the Hajj. So he allowed people to come and do what they wanted to do and all of that. They were responsible for giving water and whatever to the pilgrims and that kind of thing. They fulfilled their responsibility. And in order to maintain harmony and peace amongst all the tribes and all the people who were coming, he allowed people to come and perform what they wanted to perform. And he did his duty. Sleeping in the shade of the Kaaba one day, Abdul Muttalib got a dream. And the dream that he got was told him to dig up his treasures. And he didn't understand the dream. And the day afterwards, he's getting the same dream. He's getting the same dream about digging up. And one day he saw in the dream also, he saw some dung, he saw some blood, he saw an ant's nest in his dream, telling him that this is where the treasures are. So he decided that, let me follow this dream. Let me look and see where. So he went to the door of the Kaaba, and he held on to the ring of the door of the Kaaba, and he's praying to Allah Azza wa Jal to enlighten him and give him some guidance of what these dreams really mean and all of that. And lo and behold, a bird came and sat behind him and started picking on the ground. And he followed the bird and he started to look on the ground. Now the area between the door of the Kaaba going back that way towards the well of Zamzam was the area that they used to do sacrifice. Whether it be animal sacrifice or human sacrifice, that was the area for sacrifice. So it had blood and all of that on the ground. So he went looking in that area and he saw dung and he saw some blood. And then as he was walking behind, he saw the ant's patch, the ant's nest. So he had two pickaxes prepared, because Abdul Muttalib only had one son. His son's name was Harith. One son he had at that time. He had many wives, plenty daughters and all of that, but he had one son, Harith. So he organized two pickaxes and he came to where the ant's nest was and he started digging. And he told his son Harith to stand guard, because the time that they started digging was before sunrise, before break of dawn, the wee hours of the morning, and he started digging. And when people heard the sound of pickaxe digging and the sound of digging, people started coming out to see what is happening, and they are questioning, why are you digging around the Kaaba and what are you doing? But Abdul Muttalib was in charge of the Kaaba and he was a very responsible person. So even though people were asking, they were not really objecting too much as to what he is doing. And he started digging, and people came out and they were asking and looking on, see what is going on. And then as time went by, some of them started to leave and all of that. And lo and behold, they heard a solid sound. He had hit something. So people started coming back. Seems as though something is coming out. He found something. But it was the treasures that was buried by the Jurhumai tribe many, many years before, that Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to give back to the Quraysh and the keepers of the house. So they found all the jewelry that was buried, and the well of Zamzam came back into existence. And of course, jewelry is found and is found in the precincts of the Kaaba. So who on that is? Everybody laying claim to it now. Everybody want a share, right? So Abdul Muttalib did the right thing. In those days, matters were decided by drawing lots and drawing arrows, just like when you have a football match or a cricket match and many teams, who you decide who is going to play who. You pull lots. So in those days, they had arrows. So Abdul Muttalib organized 3 arrows, one with his name on it, because he is the person who found the treasure, one for the Kaaba, and 1 arrow to be divided amongst the Quraysh. So every piece of jewelry that was taken out, the arrow diviner, there was a special person who was appointed to pick arrows. That was a job of a special person. He, now in the precincts of the Kaaba, every piece of jewelry that was taken out, he was asked to pull an arrow. So a piece of jewelry comes out, he pull an arrow. The arrow that he pull is the one for the Kaaba, so that goes for the Kaaba. In this way, the jewelry was divided. So in that way, nobody could say there was any biasness that you took that because of this and that. The majority of that which was found in the well of Zamzam went to the Kaaba. The majority of it. A few pieces went to Abdul Muttalib and none went to the Quraysh. And that was by decree. Because it is not to say that Abdul Muttalib did this or the diviner this. This was a person who they had trust in. And this is the way the well of Zamzam came back into existence. Abdul Muttalib, after this incident, reflecting, you know, he's saying to himself, you know, he's looking at all his cousins and other families, and they have many sons. And he's saying to himself, you know, when I was digging the well of Zamzam, if I had more sons, they could have protected me. They could have stand guard and I would have been more secure like how my other cousins have sons. So he decided to make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, give me 10 sons. If you give me 10 sons and they all grow up to be men, then I would sacrifice one of them for you. But at that time, saying it, but also very unsure about whether I'm going to have 10 sons. He had many wives, so as time went by, the years went by, Abdul Muttalib was blessed with 10 sons. He was blessed with 10 sons. So his last son, Abdullah, the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was his last son. And they are growing up, and now his promise is starting to haunt him a bit. Because I made a promise to Allah that if I have 10 sons and they grow up, so while they are growing up now, it's starting to haunt him a little bit. You know what to do. And lo and behold, the years went by and Abdullah now became of age. He cannot be considered a little boy anymore. 13, 14, 15 years of age, Abdullah already is. So he has to now decide which one of his sons he is going to sacrifice. So he called all his sons together and he told them, this is the promise that I made. I made a promise to Allah that I'll sacrifice one of you. So each one of you, you make your mark on your arrow. In other words, sign your name on arrow and bring it. Give it to the arrow diviner. And we will choose one from there. And whoever name comes up would have to be sacrificed. His sons concurred. They agreed. Because they were brought up in a manner that shows, that taught them obedience and to listen. So one day all of them gathered inside the Kaaba. All of them, Abdul Muttalib with his 10 sons and the arrow diviner, all of them, they put in their arrows, and now the arrow diviner has to choose an arrow. And he pulls out an arrow. And lo and behold, the name Abdullah comes about. And Abdullah was the most beautiful of all his sons and the most loved of all his sons. So he snatches Abdullah and he takes him, he walked with a big knife and he walks with a knife. As though he don't want any time to pass, that thought start to go through your mind. Otherwise, you know, shaitan is there and the mind is there. Well, don't do this, do something else, and you could do that, and you could do the next. So immediately he grabbed Abdullah and he took his knife and he exits from the Kaaba. As he exits from the Kaaba, there's a big crowd of people waiting for him. A big crowd of people. Because Abdullah's mother, Fatima, Abdullah's mother name was Fatima. She was Quraysh. So she had a lot of family support in Makkah. His other wives were from different tribes, so they didn't have much family support. And the talk about Abdul Muttalib having to sacrifice one of his sons was spreading around. So as he emerged from the Kaaba with Abdullah, family members, his wife family is there present, and they start questioning him, where are you going with the knife? What is the purpose of the knife? Now they knew, and Abdul Muttalib also knew. the purpose of the knife. They knew it was for a sacrifice. But they questioned him. They said, well, why you don't do something else? Why you don't ransom him with something else? Kill something else in his place. And they would know about that from the story of Ismail, alayhi salam, their forefather. That was Ram. He was Ram's son, for a ram from heaven. So why don't you sacrifice something else in Abdullah's place? Abdul Muttalib wanted to do the sacrifice, but the love that he had for Abdullah, it was as though he was waiting for somebody to convince him not to do it. So he listened to what people said and all of that, and lo and behold, he decided that, okay, look, there's a wise woman in Medina, Yathrib, as it was known in that time, because Abdul Muttalib originally was from Medina. So he said, I would go and I would have a discussion with this woman and find out if anything could be done. So they went to Medina, Abdul Muttalib, Abdullah, and one or two of his other sons. They went to Medina looking out for the woman, asking about her whereabouts. But she had left and gone to Khaybar, which is 100 miles away from Medina. So they traveled the 100 miles, and they went to Khaybar, and they met with her. And they asked her, well, what could be done in this situation? So she said, let me think about it. The next day, they went back to her, and she asked them, well, what is blood money between yourselves? What is the sum, or what do you pay as blood money in the case, as we know nowadays, in the case of qatli khata, what we call manslaughter, accidental death? What do you give as compensation? So in those days, 10 camels was the price that they pay for blood money. So the woman advised that you should take the person and 10 camels and go to the Kaaba, to the arrow diviner, and let them pull and see whose name is coming up. If your person name comes up, then keep adding more camels. Keep adding more camels. So they started off with 10 camels and they pulled, and Abdullah's name came up. And they added 10 more camels and they pulled, and Abdullah's name came up. And they added 10 more camels and they pulled, and Abdullah's name came up. Until they reached the number 100 and 100 camels. Then the camels came up. But Abdul Muttalib wanted to be very sure. So he did it over again, and the camels came up. And he did it a third time, and the camels came up. So then he rests assured that, yes, this is the decree of Allah. And they sacrificed the 100 camels, and Abdullah was saved. And Abdullah growing up to be a young man. So his father, Abdul Muttalib, decided that, okay, it's time for him to get married. Let us find a wife for him. So he's going around and he's looking for a wife for his son. And his eyes fell on Amina, the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he asked permission for his son Abdullah to get married to Amina, who was the son of the daughter of Wahab. Her father had died a few years before. He was in charge of their tribe, and he had died a few years before. And the tribe was now under the rule of her uncle, Wuhayb. So Wuhayb was in charge. So Abdul Muttalib went to him and asked permission for Abdullah to get married to Amina. And consent was given. But while the father was looking for someone for his daughter, his eyes fell on the daughter of Wuhayb. And she was a young girl also of marriageable age. So he asked for her hands in marriage for himself. And Wuhayb consented. So a double marriage was arranged. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, father is getting married to Amina, and his grandfather Abdul Muttalib is getting married on the same day. In the same household. Right? So when we hear about a father getting married and his son getting married, you know, sometimes we look at that as, and we say to ourselves that, boy, how that gonna look? That looking bad. Your son get married there and you go in there to get married. And we think, and we start to feel how we go look and how people go talk and what they go say and all of that. Right? But here it is, the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam getting married and the grandfather getting married in the same household. Right? So the marriage was arranged. And here it is on the day they are walking going. Both of them holding hands and they are walking going for the marriage ceremony. And people are looking and they're stalking because it's Abdul Muttalib who is in charge of the Kaaba, and Abdullah, who was really the Yusuf of his age, very handsome, very beautiful. Even though Abdul Muttalib at that time was over 70 years of age, The lineage of the family, they never used to look it. They never used to look old. As you know, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself died at the age of 63, and you could have hardly seen a gray hair on his face. Few could have been counted. Some hadith says that you could have counted them on your fingers, right? Less than 20. So Abdul Muttalib and Abdullah are going to get married. And Waraka ibn Nawfal, you would have heard the name before. It is the person who the Prophet Khadija had taken the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to when he had received his first revelation. It was a person of a Christian, stout person, very strong in his deen. He had a sister by the name of Qutaylah. So they were going to get married, Abdul Muttalib and Abdullah, and they're passing by the house of Waraka. And Qutaylah jumps out of the house, the sister of Waraka. She jumps out of the house and snatches Abdullah and says, "Take me here as a wife, here and now, right now, marry me." So Abdullah says, "No, I can't do that. I'm with my father and we have plans and we are going places." And she begged and she begged and she said, I would give you the same amount of camels that you were ransomed for. In other words, 100 camels. And he says, "No, I can't do that because I already have plans and I'm going with my father and all of that." So they went and they got married and they remained in the house of Wuhayb. That's where they got married. They remained there for a few days. So Abdullah leaving there one day and he's going back to his home to get some supplies. And he's passing back again by Qutaylah. But she's not paying any attention to him. So he's feeling a bit embarrassed now because he knew that she was kind of checking for him. So he thought that she might still have feelings. So when she didn't say anything, Abdullah went and said, "Well, what's the problem? The offer's still on the table, Lord. The offer's still on the table. You're not sure?" She said, "No, that is gone. That offer is no longer there. I have no interest in you. Because the light and the nur that was emanating from you prior to your marriage is no longer there. I'm not seeing that anymore." Right? So inshallah, my dear brothers, we in subsequent khutbahs, we'll continue from here inshallah. And this marriage took place in the year 569 AH, and it was the year after that is known as the year of the elephants, when the elephants were brought to destroy the Kaaba. So inshallah, we will continue with that from the next. I hope inshallah that we learn and Allah Azza wa Jal teaches us from these lessons and from the lifestyle and the history of Ibrahim and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that we also would hold on and understand the roots that we come from, that it is not simple and ordinary and we are not just here for no reason at all. May Allah Azza wa Jal guide us all.